Hey, back on Downtown at 4:31. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning on your radio till 6 o'clock tonight. And a good night last night for Red Sox prospect Yoan Moncada, named MVP of the Futures game. And to talk about Moncada and the rest of those future Red Sox players, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by our friend Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Chris, good afternoon.
Rich, it's always a pleasure to come on, my man.
Hey, that was quite an effort by Moncada. He is he's the guy. He's the guy that everybody's got their eye on. And while he had the great night last night, he's still pretty much a work in progress, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's actually had a really good season, both in Salem and after his promotion to Portland. But he's got a couple things to work on. To me, the biggest things for him are he's a switch hitter. And although you wouldn't have known it yesterday because he hit his home run batting right-handed, his swing from the right-hand side and his numbers from the right-hand side aren't as good as he is hitting from the left-hand side. So, you know, when looking at his numbers for the year, you really got to get into those splits to kind of see how he's doing from each side of the plate. I think he's 0-for-8 with 6 strikeouts in Double A from the right side. So I'd like to see those numbers come up a little bit, which they did in Salem, and I'm pretty sure that's what the Sox saw when they did promote him. The other thing is defensively, he's got some work to do to be maybe a little bit more consistent. And honestly, there's the question of where he's going to play, because now that he's in Double A, he's a second baseman, and it's the same problem we had when Mookie Betts came up, right? The Red Sox have a guy at second. So the question is what they're going to do with him. Are they going to keep playing him at short? Are they going to expose him to third base maybe, or perhaps the outfield? But he's definitely a special prospect. I think Baseball America just named him the number one prospect in the game in their midseason rankings. He's a special prospect, and I can't wait to see him in the majors when he does make it to Fenway.
Well, he's only been in Portland for about 3 weeks now. Do you see any scenario where he is in Fenway Park before this season ends?
You know, I could. What I would like to see, and I've got a similar scenario of what I'd like to see with Andrew Benintendi after the All-Star break as well, but I'd like them to maybe start getting him some reps at third base because it seems like that's where he would fit most on this roster. That said, I don't think there's maybe quite as much of a need. I think you'd have to kind of beat the door down, which he's maybe on his way to doing, but he'd really have to get hot. And if he forces the issue, you know, they'll make a spot for him. And, you know, in September, the Red Sox always seem to call up that stolen base guy. And Moncada's got double plus speed, at least plus, maybe double plus. He could be that guy for them, even on that alone, just to get him kind of that first toe dip into the water of the major leagues. So I could see that, but I don't think it's maybe quite as likely as it would be for, say, Andrew Benintendi, perhaps.
Well, let's
to potentially come up.
Let's talk about Benintendi. Once he got to Portland, it was a little bit of a struggle early on for him, but boy, once he figured it out, he's been in a pretty sweet groove. 288 average, 347 on base percentage, and doing the things defensively that we've heard he could do as well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Defensively, even though he's a center fielder, he's not really a plus defender out there. I would call him maybe a future average, solid average defender in center field. But he's got the ability where he might be able to play all three positions. The thing that I was referring to with him, I would like to see them start playing him in left field, especially in Portland where you have the kind of green monster there at Hadlock at the field. There's no similar thing in Pawtucket in AAA. So I think if they would like to expose him to left field, where there kind of seems to be a natural fit for him on the major league roster, maybe not right now, you know, maybe a month down the road, especially if he keeps hitting like he's been hitting. He's played nothing but center field since he's been drafted. So I think maybe exposing him to the outfield corners, both of them, why not, to get him some experience out there before getting a call up where, let's face it, he's not playing center field on a roster with Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts. That's just not going to happen. So get him some experience there. Get him some experience playing against a green monster-like wall, if not quite the same thing, while he's there in Portland. I think that'd be really smart for them to do. Dave Dombrowski said the other day that he's comfortable calling prospects up from Double A. So with the way Benintendi's hitting the ball, I would really not be surprised to see them call him up at some point down the line. And who knows? I mean, that frees up a lot of other parts to your roster, right? If Benintendi's playing left field, you've got Brock Holt can play some infield now. You've got him and Aaron Hill. Maybe that makes Travis Shaw a guy you could move in a deal for a pitching piece or something. So there's a lot of ramifications there. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it. But, man, if he keeps hitting like he is right now, he's not going to take very long to get up to Fenway, that's for sure.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. And a guy that you hear a lot of people talk about is maybe a prospect who has been passed by, and that's Rafael Devers. He's still at single A at Salem. The numbers aren't great so far, but this kid's only 19 years old still.
Yeah, and you know what? If you look at his numbers since late May, I'm going to make a rough attempt to try and bring these up before we get finished talking about him, but he actually made an adjustment to his pre-pitch. I saw him once in April, and I saw him once recently, and he was doing a lot more movement before the pitch early in the year, and so his timing was off. He was trying to pull everything. But he made an adjustment around May 28th is when Salem's broadcaster, Kevin Burke, told me he would just get to the plate, put the bat on his shoulder, and wait. And since then, in 35 games, he's hitting .358, .399 on base percentage, .515 slugging. He's tearing the cover off of the ball now. So reports of Rafael Devers' demise were greatly exaggerated. You know, he's still a really special prospect, as you mentioned, extremely young for the level. If he keeps hitting like this, he might see Portland by year's end, which, you know, even in late May, I definitely would have bet heavily against that happening. And it wouldn't have been a problem with it given his age. But, you know, he's looking like he's jonesing for a call-up, maybe seeing Moncada and Benintendi and Mauricio Dubon and a couple other guys get called up to Portland, lit a fire underneath them. And it's worked because he's been just tearing the cover off the ball lately. You know, he's got a special bat. He can field the position at third base well. He's got a plus arm. He's hit, I think if I've seen him five times in the last couple of years, he's hit five home runs or four home runs or something like that. So he apparently likes it when I'm there, which I love. but yeah, he's really fun to go watch, and he's going to be all right. He's showing that he's just fine.
We had Jake Romanski on the show the other day, the Sea Dogs catcher, made the all-star team in the Eastern League. There's a lot of catchers in that system. What's his future with Boston?
Romanski, well, he probably profiles more as a potential up and down guy. Maybe best case scenario would be more of a, you know, kind of a major league backup is kind of the ceiling for him. You know, he's, you know, got good skills behind the plate, solid average defensive profile, does a good job with the running game, good receiver, kind of controls the game back there, kind of your stereotypical catcher stuff, you know. And he's been hitting very well this year, of course. He's hitting .312, but not a whole lot of pop there. I mean, the slugging's only .385. He's got one home run this year. He had one home run last year, three the year before in Salem and Greenville. But, you know, he's a guy that I think could maybe see Pawtucket by the end of the year, depending on what the space is there, really. I mean, if you look at it right now, they've got Vasquez down there, and they've got Dan Butler, and they've got a guy in Ali Solis, who I think was in Portland earlier in the year, who's on the DL as kind of the third catcher. So if they call Vasquez back up to the majors and there's some room there, I could see them definitely calling Romanski up. And, hey, you never know. I mean, who would have said that Sandy Leone was going to set the world on fire the way he's been since he got called back up to Boston? So all it takes is that one opportunity, and he could definitely get it in the major leagues, whether with Boston or with another club.
Dave Dombrowski said over the weekend that he could go get a starting pitcher right now, but the asking price from teams has been way too high. With, of course, that I'm sure starts with Moncada and Benintendi. Who are the guys that you think are absolute untouchables in the Red Sox minor league system?
You know, as far as absolutely, or at least in a sense of realistically untouchable, because I think for the right trade, no one's untouchable, right? If Mike Trout becomes available right tomorrow, you ship Moncada out on the first plane, right? But, you know, Moncada and Benintendi, it's really hard for me to see them trading either of those guys. And then the Red Sox really have a top four right now with those two, Devers, who we talked about, and Anderson Espinosa, the right-handed pitcher in Greenville. I think the Red Sox would really need to be blown away to move any of those four guys, especially now that Devers has figured things out in Salem. A month ago, I might have said Devers could move in the right trade, but I think he started to show them, you know, that he really isn't a guy that they want to move if he keeps hitting the way he is. But there's a couple other guys that they could move. The problem is around after those four, the system really starts to go down quickly. Michael Kopech, right-handed pitcher in Salem, is kind of pushing his way into being a top 100 prospect. But after that, I mean, Sam Travis is on the DL. No one's going to trade for him. He tore his ACL recently, the Pawtucket first baseman. Brian Johnson, the Pawtucket pitcher, who we saw in the majors last year, is you know, working his way back from getting treatment for anxiety. After that, you're not really going to have any A-list type players in a trade for a starter. You know, if they do make a move for a pitcher, it's going to wind up being a back-end guy, I think, both based on the market and on what they've got in the system. So I can't see them moving any of those guys based on the players available. Like, are you going to trade one of them for a one-year rental on Rich Hill? No. This, no matter how good Hill's been this year, who knows how he's going to hold up over a full season. So I think with what's available right now, I don't think they move any of the top four. Depending on if someone were in that top tier to become available, maybe they'd think about it. But I can't see them really moving any of those guys for what the trade market's bearing right now.
Chris, the website SoxProspects.com is great. It's the go-to site to find out what's happening in minor league baseball with the Red Sox futures. And it's that time of year when you guys are looking for ways to make sure the site stays healthy and keeps going strong. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening with your fundraising?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rich. Well, you know, it's important to us that we provide professional-level coverage of the farm system, but that we keep it free. And in order to do that, once a year, we ask our readers and our listeners to the podcast to chip in if they're able to help pay for things like our web hosting and our tech costs. And the other big thing is travel. We go to spring training, Greenville, the fall instructional lead, because those are our only chances to see some guys in the system. But the thing is, in order to do that and keep the site free, we do ask people if they're listening maybe to your show, they like when I come on, if they go to SoxProspects.com/donate, we really appreciate any donations as low as $5. You know, any little bit helps. We're getting really close to our goal for this year, but we do kind of need that little push over the top. And, you know, the owners, we don't take a cent. This is just to pay for costs. We don't keep any of it as much as I wish we did, but we really appreciate anything that we get. And so if any of your listeners wanted to chip in, we'd appreciate it.
Hey, we'll lead the way. Mark us down for 50.
Oh, I appreciate that, Rich. Thanks so much.
We'll go right on and do it in just a minute as soon as we get in the commercial break. Of course. That's small potatoes to keep you coming on the show on a regular basis.
Hey, you know what? It's a pleasure. I love coming on. It breaks up my long, boring day at work, that's for sure, man.
Always great. Chris, we appreciate it. Good talking with you again, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later on in the season.
Excellent. For sure, Rich. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.